Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 54 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Rachel Turner.
And I'm Sarah Mead.
This is a large pile of debris and trash.
High water has left damage to recreation areas at Cave Run Lake.
Two App Harvest board members have resigned in the wake of controversial tweets.
Vaccine hesitancy is increasing with the pause of the Johnson & Johnson shot.
Scientists say the COVID vaccine will not cause infertility.
Expansion of a homeless center in Lexington has been blocked.
In sports, Moorhead State Volleyball competes in the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 36. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Water levels on Cave Run Lake are continuing to fall, but remain well above summer pool. The receding water is revealing damage at developed recreation sites and extensive debris and mud accumulation at many boat ramps. The Daniel Boone National Forest Cumberland District Ranger John Kosminski says the lake reached more than 20 feet above summer pool following the heavy March rains that caused widespread flooding in eastern Kentucky. While the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been discharging water from the dam into the Licking River, water levels have remained high for weeks.
We knew we were going to have extensive cleanup efforts needed around the lake, but we're starting to see some debris accumulation and damage to infrastructure that we haven't seen in many years, probably as a result of that lake level remaining high for several weeks this spring.
Kosminski says the boat ramps in Warrix, Claylick, Banger, Longbow, and Leatherwood remain closed along with the Paragon Road area and the Claylick Boat and Campground. However, the Scotts Creek, Poppin' Rock, Alfrey, Stony Cove, Twin Knobs Boat, and Zilpo ramps are open and accessible, as is the Twin Knobs, Zilpo, White Sulphur Horse Camp, and Clear Creek Campgrounds. Kosminski advises boaters to use caution. Adding debris can be dangerous. Water skiing, tubing, and swimming are not advised at this time.
App Harvest board member J.D. Vance and author of book Hillbilly Elegy resigned yesterday in wake of controversial posts on Twitter. According to WYMT, App Harvest Chief Communications Officer Travis Parman told the Lexington Herald Leader, Vance let the leadership know he wanted to leave and gave his resignation. Chairman and CEO of Equilibrium, Dave Chin, resigned as well. Investor Sierra Burnham and former Nature Conservancy Chief Marketing Officer Jeff Rochester took the place of Vance and Chin.
With the pause on Johnson & Johnson vaccines grabbing headlines, experts worry that the news could complicate efforts to convince those who are on the fence about getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Just one day after Governor Andy Beshear set a goal of 2.5 million vaccinations, with the promise of lifting most capacity restrictions once met. He says the state was hit with another curveball. News that federal agencies were recommending a pause on use of the J&J vaccine over six cases of a rare blood clotting complication. Officials are hoping for a resolution that preserves confidence in the one-shot vaccine, but Public Health Commissioner Dr. Stephen Stack said residents already have reason to be reassured.
We have in place really robust surveillance systems to look for these very uncommon, very rare instances to find it, and it's very reassuring that six people out of 6.8 million plus people is like finding needles in a haystack. Now, every needle is important and every person is critical, but in this case, they found it quick.
Health officials are also quick to note that the risk presented by COVID-19 itself are still far higher, with a doctor who worked on COVID-19 vaccination trials telling CNBC developing blood clots from the virus is more probable than the apparent likelihood of developing them from the J&J vaccine.
Doctors and medical experts are continuing to reiterate the rumors surrounding the COVID-19 vaccine and infertility are just that, rumors without any data to back them up. Western Kentucky Dr. Randy Hansburg has a PhD in science research and treats COVID patients. He told WOBK that the rumor stemmed from a posed question from a German epidemiologist.
It started as a speculation, and it's become kind of a rumor. And even the guy who started it wasn't convinced. It wasn't a malicious rumor. It was a scientist trying to speculate things and say, hey, could infertility be a problem?
Scientists and doctors have analyzed this specific curious question with targeted research and have not found anything substantial at this time. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine has caused 1 in a million blood clots, specifically in women. However, doctors say a woman is more likely to get a blood clot from a birth control pill over the vaccine. The CDC even has a database with nearly 90,000 vaccinated pregnant women. 5,000 of them are being closely monitored, none of which have raised any significant red flags. If a pregnant woman were to test positive for COVID, the risk factors are much higher. The CDC says women could experience premature birth if they contract the virus during pregnancy.
At the end of last month, Western Kentucky University announced students, faculty, and staff would be able to get their COVID-19 vaccine on campus. But now WKU says it will cease offering the shot. According to WYMT, the university had said they were offering the vaccine for convenience and hoping to reach individuals who may not get vaccinated otherwise. Bob Skipper, Director of Media Relations at WKU, says there were many factors that went into the decision to stop offering the vaccine on campus, including when students would get their second dose.
Now that we've gotten this late into the semester, any more of these vaccines will put the second shot beyond the end of the spring semester, which poses some logistic issues with getting the second shot. They'll have to get that somewhere else.
Currently, getting vaccinated is encouraged but not required for students returning to in-person classes at WKU next semester.
A group that provides aid and opportunities for those experiencing homelessness has been denied a permit to expand into an East 4th Street property in Lexington. Advocates for Lexington Rescue Mission had agreed to scale back their intended uses for the proposed community center after meeting with opposition from neighbors, agreeing not to offer meals or hold outdoor worship services. But the concessions were not enough to convince some neighborhood residents the Mission Center location is a good idea. Richard Getty represents the Martin Luther King Jr. Neighborhood Association. He said there's pushback.
Not because of anything the Rescue Mission does, but because of the impact already on these areas and what we expect will continue or be exacerbated by another facility placed at 203 4th Street.
Critics argued the project would add to an already oversaturated area when it comes to social service agencies. One, some residents say, have failed to address problems like drug use, theft, and loitering. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the Board of Adjustment ultimately voted 4-2 to deny the mission's request for a special use permit.
Governor Andy Beshear says once Kentucky reaches 2.5 million people who have gotten their first COVID-19 vaccination, the state will lift restrictions and curfews on restaurants and bars. Kentucky is roughly 900,000 vaccinations away from lifting restrictions and getting back to normal. Keith Clark is the owner of the Blue Heron. He tells WKYT he remains optimistic for the future.
The reality is it's still not enough to sustain us. We've still got to have that rest of that seating available to us to survive.
Clark says the past year has been the toughest period of time anybody in his business has had to endure.
The Farm to Fork program on the University of Kentucky campus focuses on nourishing the mind, body, and soul. The program is aimed at fighting food insecurity and promoting nutrition and has been in motion since 2018. Jordan Hinton, a UK junior and volunteer in the kitchen, tells LAX 18 she has enjoyed her time spent in the program.
Fun, rewarding, and it's just cool to like get to interact with students who are just happy to get a hot meal.
The meal changes each week, but are always cooked up by student volunteers. Food also goes out to the community to places like the Hope Center, sending the mission beyond the boundaries of the campus.
Vandals targeted two Lexington coffee shops over the weekend. On Saturday night, someone threw a rock through a window at Cup of Commonwealth. It is the third window smash in the past couple of weeks. Owner Salvador Sanchez tells LEX18 he is not letting the vandalism get him down.
At some point, you just have to like enjoy it and appreciate it for what it is and can't do anything about it. There's no point in getting mad.
Sanchez already has plans to replace what was broken. Lexington police say the incidents from over the weekend are under investigation.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 36. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 60. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 41. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 58. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 41. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 60. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 41. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 62.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University Baseball has announced plans to add a new feature to their playing field. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has the story. Along the left side of MSU's Sunny Allen Field, there is a hill with substantial tree coverage, something Coach Mick Aoki says a few parents brought to his attention.
Ever since I got here, the parents have been like, hey, you know, is there any way for us to get rid of those trees type of thing, you know, because it blocks what is otherwise like a really good vantage point to watch the game from. And, I kind of laughed about it.
But then Aoki decided to get together with some other coaches to see if there was something to be done.
We were like, wouldn't this be cool to do some sort of like a deck type of a thing where those trees are? The issue being that if we were to knock down those trees, I think that Mother Nature and erosion would probably take that left field hill and put it onto our field. And so we thought about maybe incorporating kind of this viewing deck in and around these trees.
Aoki says the team is very fortunate to have a positive group of parents who support each and every player.
I feel like we have a really positive and upbeat and supportive group of parents, which is not something that, you know, you can take for granted. That a lot of times parents can be a little bit exactly the opposite of that, you know.
Aoki contributes that culture of support to the mother of former player Braxton Morris. Her name is Jerry Morris.
She has terminal breast cancer. And so one of our current parents brought this to my attention and was like, hey, you know, it would be really neat to do something that sort of honors her and pays tribute to the fact that here's this terrific lady who has helped to build this really positive culture and this family atmosphere in our program.
Aoki says the viewing deck is a perfect way to honor Jerry, a woman who fully believes in the power of community.
You know, what do we all do on decks, right? We hang out. You know, we share, we commune with one another.
To donate to the Eagles Landing Project, visit alumni.morheadstate.edu. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Grand, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
It's 54 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Rachel Turner, here with Sarah Mead and Wiley Tanner. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports coming up. But first, I want to say thank you. We are so glad you can spend time with us on this Thursday evening. Eagle volleyball fell in round two this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers.
The Morehead State volleyball team fell in the second round of the NCAA Division I tournament this afternoon. The Eagles were knocked out of competition by number 8 Florida. Head coach Jamie Gordon said going into the match, his team was expecting the Gators to play a very physical game.
We're going to have to use some of our strengths in our serve and pass game to get them out of system and try and be able to string some points together. But it's definitely going to be a challenge. And hopefully, you know, we can take a little something from having the opportunity to play and get used to the facility and the environment and hopefully, you know, turn that into some aggressive play.
The Gators will go on to face Ohio State in the third round of the tournament on Sunday. Many of the Eagles will now turn their focus to spring beach volleyball season. The Morehead State softball team heads to UT Martin this weekend. The 9-20 Eagles begin a 3-game series with the Flyers on Saturday evening. A series with Belmont was canceled over the weekend. Head coach Samantha Jones says while the cancellation was disappointing, her team is glad the conference has put safety measures in place.
You know, it's been challenging because we've had a handful of our athletes missing some practice this week just due to, you know, safety measures. But hopefully we'll get a good portion back either today and tomorrow, which, you know, can kind of seem a little late, you know, with us playing on Saturday and Sunday, but I know that they've been working at home and doing things of that nature as well.
Game 1 on Saturday is set to start at 6 p.m. Sunday's doubleheader begins at 2. The Eagle baseball team is preparing for a 4-game series with Eastern Illinois that begins tomorrow afternoon. Morehead stands at 15-12 on the season, while the Panthers are 17-14. MSU head coach Mick Aoki says he's proud of his team's performance during last week's 3-game series with Austin Peay.
What we really put a lot of emphasis on doing, which is just scoring a run an inning, that's sort of the goal, and just kind of being relentless in trying to accomplish that. And then we were able to sort of break through with a pretty big inning. I believe it was in the fourth.
A doubleheader Friday is set to begin at noon at Sunny Allen Field. With Morehead State football's last game of the spring season quickly approaching, the team is working to strategize as they face Butler for a second time this season. Playing a school more than once is not typical during a regular Pioneer Football League season, but it's among the challenges the Eagles are dealing with due to the pandemic. Head coach Rob Tenier thinks his guys can handle the Bulldogs again, especially if all parts of the team step up like they did against Valparaiso.
Our O-line played really good, you know, pass protection pretty good. And then, you know, B.J. Bird had some big catches again. Devontae Adams was our MVP on offense, had a great game, had some big catches. And so, yeah, we had some guys stand out on that side of the ball as well.
MSU will be at home this Saturday. Kickoff against Butler is set for 4 p.m. In an otherwise busy week for the team, the Round County Senior High School softball team will have tonight off. The Vikings have been at home so far this week. Now they prepare to head into weekend play at the Tri-State Showcase in Ashland tomorrow evening. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team is continuing to adjust as they gauge their strengths, but they're getting there.
Well, we've got some positioning things that we're trying to get filled still because we just haven't had all the basketball players long enough to have see them in several different situations, so we know exactly where they're going to fit into the equation.
The Vikings will play Boyd County on the road at 5 o'clock Friday. They will resume play in the Tri-State Showcase Saturday morning at 10 against Mercer County. The Round County Senior High School baseball team has a couple days off before some tournament play this weekend. The Vikings' home game against Russell last night was canceled. Head coach Scott Collins says they've been playing without starting catcher Jacob Plank this week. He was injured during the team's matchup with Greenup last week.
He, you know, they thought he had a fractured thumb, but thankfully it wasn't, just badly bruised and sprained. So, you know, obviously in a catcher's role, he's going to touch the ball pretty much the whole game. So we're going to take that slow. You know, it's early in the season. You know, get him healed up, and then hopefully he'll be ready to go for the long haul.
Rowan next plays during the Anchor Down Classic this Saturday. The event is a three-way tournament between the Vikings, Lewis, and Breathitt counties. Rowan County will play Lewis first at 11 a.m. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks climbed to record levels on Thursday after key companies reported strong earnings and fresh economic data pointed to a rebound in consumer spending and the jobs market. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average finished with a gain of 305.1, record close, and the first time the blue chip average ever has been above 34,000. S&P 500 was up 45.76 at 4170.42, also a record high, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 180.92, finishing at 14,038.76. Technology shares rebounded as bond yields fell. The so-called FANG stocks all climbed more than 1%, the 10-year Treasury yield dropping 8 basis points to finish below 1.56%, and of course, higher interest rates tend to erode future earnings for growth-oriented companies, so the lower yields definitely good news for the technology sector. Retail sales surged almost 10% in March as additional stimulus sent consumer spending soaring. Going into the report, the Dow Jones estimate was only for a 6.1% gain. And a separate report today showed that first-time filings for unemployment insurance dropped to their lowest level since March 2020. Shares of United Health gained almost 4% after the company reported results that topped the street's forecast, and the health insurer also raised guidance for 2021. Pepsi shares added 0.1% after the consumer snack and drink maker said sales last quarter rose nearly 7%, topping estimates. Shares of Citigroup erased earlier gains and actually fell 0.5%, even though the bank posted results that beat analyst estimates for first quarter profit with strong investment banking revenue and a bigger than expected release of loan loss reserves. Bank of America shares rose as earnings last quarter blew past the street on booming trading and investment banking results, as well as the release of loan loss reserves, but the stock itself was down 2.9%. And newly public crypto exchange Coinbase rolled over and closed the day down 1.7% in volatile trading. The stock got a boost earlier after it was revealed ARK Invest's Cathie Wood loaded up on it in the first day of trading. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.3% at $63.37 a barrel. Gold was up 1.7% at $1,765.60 an ounce. And turning now to stocks of local interest, App Harvest was down $1.38 at $16.19. CSX up 51 cents at $98.87. PPL Energy up a quarter at $28.99. U.S. Bancorp down $1.25 at $56.33. Anthem up $9.98 at $372.60. And Marathon Petroleum was unchanged at $53.87. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Levi Bryant, Shamari Mosley, Jonathan Burton, Carla Haight, and Wiley Tanner, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Bard Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WYMK's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Sarah Mead and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Rachel Turner for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.